You know, I remember when we were first writing the book and thinking of how to do these episodes, one of my first, like, ideas was maybe we shouldn't focus on yoga, because I think every Christian pretty much, I mean, people have got to get at least that, right? That yoga's not right. It blew my mind. That's mostly what I'm asked about. That's mostly what I'm asked about. Actually, this is a bit of a rabbit trail, but just so I have a resource too that I can point somebody to. I've been asked a lot, and I'm sure people out there are going to have the same question. And I want to get your take on this, but in the episodes we talk about how, you know, yoga is like just absolutely dangerous and evil, and it's just not good. So what alternatives are there? Because a lot of people say that they need to do stretches for physical problems or things like that. I usually say, for one thing, you don't need yoga specifically for any of that. You could go to like a physical therapist or a chiropractor, as long as you know they're not into like Reiki stuff, or because some chiropractors deal in New Age stuff as well. But you can go to just a doctor and just ask for like a chart of just medical stretches that they can do that don't have any of these weird, occultic origins.
Stretches that aren't in sequence to be a sun salutation.
That's right.
Stretches that aren't designed to make your energy systems in your body align themselves yeah. in a certain way.
So what would you say to that question if somebody were to ask you, well, how do I find an alternative, and how do I know that it doesn't have any occultic origins?
Well, like, if you want to stretch, just do stretching.
Yeah.
Like, any,
where do they find out how to do that?
I don't know. Just Google. Go to any fitness channel, any kinesiologist or health and wellness kind of physical health and wellness channel. On YouTube, effective back stretching, and you'll see some personal trainer give you back stretching. You can ask a personal trainer, like you said, a chiropractor, or a physiotherapist. Hey, I have a sore back. I want to do back stretches. You don't go to a yoga class, and start listening to music with chanting where they have, idols set up everywhere. And
How do they know that any of those any of those stretches that they're given by a doctor, how do they know that none of those have anything to do with yoga? How do they know that it's different than the yoga stretches?
Well, a big part of it, it's not like a posture is in and of itself inherently wrong. But a big part of it is you being able to have a clean conscience before God.
Yes.
Being able to have a pure conscience before God. The Bible says, whatever is not of faith is a sin, right? So if you're doing what you need to do to be in God's will, in the protection and will of Yahweh, and you're not, the Bible says, flee from idolatry, right? If you're going to be in the presence of idolatry in a yoga studio, and the yoga instructor is telling you, affirmations about how, the universe is going to bless you, the universe cares for you. I don't know what kind of affirmation, instructions on what to do with your breathing and allow the energy to flow through. And it's all this pantheistic Hindu theology being rammed down your throat as you're holding postures meant to honor gods, polytheistic gods, or invoke the essences and properties of gods. You cannot do that as a Christian and have a clean conscience before God.
That's true.
You just can't. So a big part of it is not so much that, hey, is this posture one that has been used in yoga before? It's what am I associating myself with?
Yeah. That's a good point.
Am I involving myself in idolatry by going to a kinesiologist or a personal trainer's YouTube channel and looking up stretches for lower back pain? No, there's no idolatry in that.
Yeah.
Is there idolatry in me going to a yoga class? Yes, there is. First of all, it's self-idolatry.
Yep.
Because yoga means union. And the practice of yoga, it's meant to bring the Atman, the personal self, into the realization that Brahman is his innermost identity, that you are God, and that God is all. So it's meant to bring the personal self into a union with the universal self, with a capital S. And so it is meant to be Hinduism, Hindu theology in practice. It's defined in Webster's dictionary as being a Hindu theistic practice, spiritual practice. So it's meant to shift your consciousness and the energy systems in your body in such a way where you reach a state of consciousness called moksha. That's the end goal of yoga, is moksha, mm-hmm. which is this enlightened state, this heightened state of consciousness of realizing that, you know, the I am mm-hmm. is within all things. It's with, I am the am, I am.
Yeah.
You know, you are the I am. Everything is God. God is everywhere. God's this impersonal, all-pervading force in the universe that exists in me and as me. And that state of consciousness, that realization, it's called moksha. Mm-hmm. And so yoga is meant to bring a person into union with a God who doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And it is premised upon a certain doctrine of man that is completely antithetical to that of Scripture. The Bible says, put fear in them, O Lord, let the nations know that they are but men. Mm-hmm. You know, it says Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. Mm-hmm. The only people who claim to be God in Scripture are the king of Babylon mm-hmm. in Ezekiel 28, the king of Tyre in Isaiah 14, and King Herod in Acts 12.
Yeah.
And all three of them were issued the death penalty by God.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. He says to the king of Babylon, Ezekiel 28, will you still say, I am a god, though you're a man and not a god? Will you still say to yourself, I am a god, in the presence of those who kill you? He's like, because you say, because you are proud and say, I am a god, I'm going to send the most ruthless nations among you to devour you.
Yeah.
God, the biblical precedent for this idea that all is God, God is all, that I am God, that God is manifest in human form in every person. Mm-hmm. The only biblical precedent we have for that is capital punishment and hellfire carried out by Yahweh himself.
Amen.
It's blasphemy to yeah. think that you are God. And that's what you're getting in yoga studios. Yeah. You're going to be taught that kind of theology, and the entire practice of yoga is built around that theology. So it's not just a matter of, you know, is this posture, if I raise my hands over my head to stretch my abdominal muscles mm-hmm. to help balance out my lower back muscles, is that some kind of, you know, practice that is going to invoke a demon inherently in that one posture? Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so. That's kind of silly.
Yeah.
It's a matter of, are you what set and setting are you doing them in? Mm-hmm. What is your intention in mm-hmm. doing them, for one? And it is also a matter of, if I'm doing them in sequence mm-hmm. at the hands of someone who's demon possessed,
right?
In an environment where I'm being fed lies about God and about myself, mm-hmm. I'm partaking in idolatry.
Yeah.
There is that line that's being crossed where if you want to be practicing yoga as a Christian, you're partaking in self-idolatry and idolatry of pantheistic deities. Studies have shown that ordinary stretches are just as effective
yeah.
as relieving back pain as yoga. So go to a kinesiologist, a personal trainer on the internet somewhere, YouTube videos, lower back stretches for lower back pain. Find stretches for lower back pain mm-hmm. and do them. Don't be partaking in idolatry. If you're thinking to yourself, is this infringing upon what the Bible classifies as honoring and revering myself mm-hmm. or another created force or an entity mm-hmm. more than Yahweh? Then you are in the realm of territory of idolatry, sorry, and you're outside of God's protection. You're opening yeah. yourself up to demonic oppression.
This is another question I got about yoga too, is what if somebody is just at home and they, you know, find what the stretches are and they don't involve themselves with the breathing stuff or any of the, you know, self-godhood stuff, and they're just physically doing this, like certain stretches of yoga or certain postures. Do you think that's still too close to, because personally I would say if there's alternatives out there that are just as good, just do the alternatives and don't even take the chance.
Right.
But I have had Christians ask me, you know, well, I just do the yoga stretches and it's not, like, I don't focus on myself or meditate or like I don't do any of that, and I'm just doing it at home. Am I still doing something wrong, and should I go find different stretches to do?
Yes, you should.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says to flee from the appearance of evil. Mm-hmm. It says to flee from every form of evil. You have to understand that yoga is Hinduism in practice. Mm-hmm. You have to realize that Hindus across America are infuriated at this culturalized, westernized version of Hatha yoga that's being practiced.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're like, they are practicing Hinduism, and they don't realize it. Mm-hmm. At least say it's Hinduism.
Yeah.
And stop saying it's compatible with Christianity. Stop mm-hmm. saying it's something that it's not.
Yep.
So you have to understand that you want to be involved in a physiological practice that's completely and wholly set apart from false religions, from religions God's condemned in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And by partaking in a system of mind-altering, body-altering, and what's believed to be chakra-altering or energy field-altering practices and mm-hmm. stretches and breathing techniques that have a very specific purpose to alter your consciousness, mm-hmm. to do something supernaturally between you and other deities, to mm-hmm. do something with your chakras or the energy systems in your body. That's what they're designed for, yep. or to salute the sun or to salute the moon. That's what they're designed for.
And we've shown studies in our book in The Second Coming of the New Age, which you can get at skywatchtvstore.com or Amazon. But we've even shown in our book that people, there are legitimate scientific studies showing people have gone crazy trying to do this stuff.
Right.
You know, not everybody that does it has that experience, but just the fact that that's a possibility that right. you could literally lose your mind over it.
Right. Well, yeah, well, we show that, you know, psychologists mm-hmm. are having a hard time recommending this to their patients anymore because they're noticing a relationship between yoga. We demonstrate with a study in the book that we cite, you know, between yoga and psychosis.
Yeah.
People are depersonalizing and losing a sense of a healthy sense of self, a healthy touch with reality because of yoga. And there's all these supernatural abilities and attainments you're supposed to receive mm-hmm. from practicing yoga, which are called primary and secondary siddhis, which are things like the ability to have what's called absolute lordship mm-hmm. over all creation, or the ability to leave your body and go into another person's body, or your ability to be able to see into the future,
yeah.
or to have whatever your heart desires, or to look and have visions into the past lives of yourself or of the gods. Mm. And so why is there this correlation in history between the right practice of yoga and supernatural abilities that the Bible says are a result of demonic oppression? When you practice yoga correctly, yogic philosophy itself tells you you're going to advance in supernatural ability.
Mm.
And another big portion of that is this whole kundalini phenomenon with kundalini awakenings that are happening, where people have, you know, this serpent of energy apparently at the base of their spine, mm-hmm. crawling up the energy systems of their body into their third eye, illuminating their third eye, which they believe to be sourced in the pineal gland, which is this bridge between the physical body, the physical flesh, and the soul. And that's that connection point. And when that gets stimulated and open, now you have all this supernatural ability, mm-hmm. and you know, you have this new bridge now between you and the spirit world because your connection point is now illuminated. And but when people have kundalini awakenings, they're going through, like, they have seizures.
Yeah.
That's a side effect of a kundalini awakening. Things mm-hmm. like uncontrollable twitching and movement, things like lower back pain, mm-hmm. things like vomiting and nausea, headaches, nightmares. This is a side effect of kundalini yoga practiced properly, and we document in the book, you know, some of the most prominent teachers of yoga of all time are telling people, like, you don't know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. If you're involved in that type of yoga, stop.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, it's extremely dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So for people who want to have yoga teachers tell them what to do with their body, what to do with their breathing, what to do with the physical vessel that now belongs to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says your body doesn't belong to you.
Yeah.
You don't belong to yourself. It's been purchased by the blood of Christ.
That's right.
The Lord is made for the body and the body for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Lord's made for the body and the body for the Lord, I'm only going to receive instruction for spiritual practices or psychological practices or even physical practices from something that I am 100% certain is spiritually neutral and not an offense to God.
That's true.
We don't have any reason to believe that receiving yoga stretches from some kind of Eastern New Age backdrop mm-hmm. or teacher is spiritually neutral mm-hmm. or is spiritually inconsequential. The evidence says otherwise. The history of the stretches imposes an influence and of the practice, it says otherwise. So let's make sure, if my body belongs to Jesus Christ, I'm supposed, the Bible says, glorify God in your body,
mm-hmm.
right? He says, use your members as members of righteousness,
yeah,
right? So my physical members, they're meant to be used for righteousness. They're not meant to be going off into different forms of spirituality that involve polytheistic deities and this pantheism mm-hmm. and reincarnation. That's another goal of yoga,
yeah.
is to reach a state of consciousness where you now can leave samsara, mm-hmm. which is this cycle of death and rebirth that we're stuck in, this wheel of karma, and you leave samsara now that you've practiced yoga and reached a certain state of moksha. You can now leave samsara. It's like, why even be involved in that? Why not just say, no, that all contradicts scripture?
Mm-hmm.
Why not just get my back stretches from, you know, any kinesiologist or chiropractor? I don't want to be associated with that.
Yes.
I don't want that over my head. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give, the Bible says, do not give a foothold to the devil, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't think that you're above the sin of idolatry mm-hmm. and that you're not susceptible for being deceived down a slippery slope into New Age theology.
That's right.
Don't think that you're going to be able to, don't think you, if you're asking questions like this, mm-hmm. don't think you have the discernment to know when to cut it off.
Yeah.
When these teachers start saying other types of things and these websites that you're learning from, they're involving other kinds of wisdom mm-hmm. and other kinds of knowledge.
Yeah, because it comes in subtly.
It comes in subtly mm-hmm. that you're going to, if you don't have the wherewithal right now to know you should flee from that mm-hmm. with everything you have, who's to say you're not going to be deceived when they start blending that in more and more with Hindu theology and then
That's
you get
right.
hooked. Hey, I start feeling a little bit better. I have some clarity of mind now because I'm not thinking so much about life. I have mm-hmm. this stretching. I want to learn more from these teachers. Like, don't think that you're above deception.
Yeah, the sad thing is, and some of the comments that I've gotten from people, some people have said to me that I need the yoga stretches for X, Y, and Z.
No, you don't. You need stretches.
Exactly. And that was kind of my response because I have a rare bone disease. So there have been times throughout dealing with that where I've had to do stretches and stuff, but it was always something from a physical therapist. Like you don't need specifically yoga stretches. You can get like medical stretches that have been proven to be beneficial, at least as good as, but probably way better because of all the spiritual stuff and just physical stuff anyway, than anything yoga is going to be able to offer too. So, I mean, that's what I would say. I can't think of a single ailment that somebody could have where they need specifically yoga stretches and not...
I need something rooted in Hindu theology.
That's the only thing that'll take care of my sciatica or something.
I need yeah. Hinduism. I need Hinduism. Give me more Hinduism.
That's all I need.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean...
And this is extremely... Yeah. This is important, like you were tying that into... You were being asked questions about this and you thought in your mind, oh, this is... People know they shouldn't be doing this. This is... Yeah. It's been covered so many times. I get asked this all the time.
Yeah. Me too now.
I still haven't made a video on it, and I intend to do more research on it. We have a good section in it documented in the book, the primary yeah. concerns and history of it and so forth. But it does bear witness to this idea of in the West mm-hmm. and in our churches, there is an explosion of New Age thought and practice that is out of control. Statistically, it's literally out of control.
Yes.
If there's 61% of Christians believing just those four beliefs, not counting others, you're looking at 80%, 75, 80% easy. That's out of control. I'm sorry. Yeah. That is a cancer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cancer on the body
Absolutely.
Of Christ, as you called it in our Skywatch episode.
Yep.
I